The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
All right, we have a first in the Fantasy Focus history, at least that I can hear. Field Gates, Matthew Berry, with an emergency podcast to end all emergency podcasts. Matthew, what has happened today? What happened to our quiet Saturday to ease into the NFL regular season?
I wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm not surprised. Literally, like, and I'm not the only one that had this thought, right? We saw all this drama, and before they had that momentary makeup, like, I literally tweeted something, in fact, I think, like, you know, Schefter had said something about, like, oh, you know, Antonio Brown's not at the team or something like that, and I literally just said, like, he's going to sign with the Patriots, isn't he? That was 2 days ago.
Oh, no.
And so
it's crazy.
It's crazy, and, like, and Bill Barnwell, our colleague Bill Barnwell, tweeted back at me and says, I thought it, but was afraid to say it out loud. And well, sorry, Bill, but just so you know, it's reality. So Antonio Brown, number 84, is now a member of the Patriots. Let's back up here. And a day ago, Field, it seemed like everything was okay between the Raiders and the Raiders and Antonio Brown for a second.
Right. We did a podcast on Friday morning, and this is being recorded at 5:45 on Saturday afternoon. I kind of buried the lead there, but most people understand why we're doing this. Antonio Brown did agree to a one-year deal with the Patriots. But on Friday morning, Matthew, here's just a timeline. We were doing our game preview podcast, and at that point, Antonio Brown and the Raiders had cleared the air. Or actually, at that point, they were still planning on him being suspended. I don't even know. But here's the trajectory. At one point,
He was supposed to be suspended. When we recorded Friday morning, we were like, look, we talked up Tyrell Williams a little bit. Then a little bit Friday afternoon, he stood in front of the team with the team captains and had an emotional, an emotional speech, apparently. His YouTube video came out and John Gruden said he thought it was funny. So it just seemed like, you know, okay. And he's playing Monday night. Like there was an announcement. Schefter tweeted it. The Raiders are planning. John Gruden says Antonio Brown will play Monday night. And so we're like, oh, okay, here we go. We're back where we sort of thought we were going to be. And then Field, all hell breaks loose.
All hell breaks loose. Antonio Brown was disappointed because after he was, the team decided to void the guarantees in his contract. And that is something that NFL teams have the right to do if a player is suspended or punished for conduct detrimental to the team. So basically, Antonio Brown lost the security that he had over the next 2 years with the Raiders. Well, he gets very fired up about this. And I suppose I understand why players would be disappointed if they did not lose the $30 million, but it no longer was a guarantee no matter what happened. He begs the Raiders on Instagram Saturday morning to release him. Like 2 hours later, the Raiders say, okay, good luck. Perhaps more likely, good riddance. Within hours, Matthew, Antonio Brown has signed with the Patriots a one-year deal that Adam Schefter reports is worth up to $15 million. Now, before anybody asks if they're catching us on Saturday night, Antonio Brown cannot play on Sunday. And what kind of theater would that have been if Antonio Brown was playing against his old team, the Steelers, who, of course, the Patriots begin their season with on Sunday night? So Antonio Brown, here's what we know. He's going to be a Patriot. The deal will not become official until officially processed, I should say, until 4 p.m. on Monday. But he'll be a Patriot by Monday at some point, and probably will be out in New England. I'm sure sooner than that, he's going to be a Patriot. It's for 1 year. And Matthew, the Patriots at one point this offseason had huge question marks surrounding the receiver group. Now it's Antonio Brown, it's Julian Edelman, the Super Bowl MVP last year, it's Josh Gordon, who at one point finished first in the NFL in receiving yards despite missing two games. Demaryius Thomas, N'Keal Harry will eventually be back, their first-round pick. All of a sudden, a massive question mark has become what looks like, potentially the best receiving group in the NFL.
It's unbelievable. Somehow, some way, the Patriots always seem to manage to get there. It's really incredible, and it's got to be frustrating to the other 31 teams in the NFL. So, a bunch of things here. So, you know, I just tweeted out the comparison here. Let's talk about Antonio Brown first and then make our way through the rest of the team. But sure. I just tweeted out, you know, Randy Moss had about like something like 74 touchdowns, the exact number, but something like 73 touchdowns, I think, in his previous seven seasons before coming to New England. And then obviously had you know, I believe it, what is still the greatest fantasy season of all time by a wide receiver. Antonio Brown has 72 touchdowns in his previous seven seasons. So, the parallels there are sort of obvious, right? I mean, you know, talented, but, sometimes troubled wide receiver going to the Patriots. Now, Tom Brady's obviously, you know, I don't know, 10 years older than, when he had Randy Moss, but still, we know Antonio Brown's talent.
Yeah, hold on. You know how dogs, like every human year counts as 7 years for dogs?
Right.
Tom Brady is the opposite. Every Correct. 7 years counts as one Tom Brady year. So he's actually only aged 1.25 years since he last played with Randy Moss.
Yeah, I mean, look, Antonio Brown, the question with Antonio Brown has never been talent. You know, and when we were talking, like I was talking down two things I was doing in the preseason, which I immediately recede right now, or rescind, I should say. On my preseason love-hate list, which was written in early August, both Tom Brady and Antonio Brown were on the hate list. Tom Brady was on the hate list because at that time, no Josh Gordon, no Antonio Brown. It was a run-heavy offense. It was the top five team in the NFL last year in rush percentage, top 10 team in the NFL last year in red zone rush percentage. They run when they get in close. You know, they were a run-heavy team. They were a run-heavy team throughout the playoffs. Obviously, they won the Super Bowl. Why would they go away from that? So I was down on Tom Brady going into the preseason, and I was down on Antonio Brown because I said, you know what? Going from Ben Roethlisberger to Derek Carr is a massive downgrade. Okay. Well, you can't say that anymore. I mean, going from Ben Roethlisberger to Tom Brady is, you know, some would argue is an upgrade for Antonio Brown. And it's certainly at worst, an even swap. And so, given the other position players that you have to deal with New England, Antonio Brown, like once he learns the playbook and once he gets on the same page with Tom Brady, should absolutely have a monster season.
So let's go through it one by one, Matthew, probably because that makes the most sense. And by the way, I think I should have said this off the top. You and I are not in the same place right now, but this news was so significant that we decided to be men of the people here, right? We throw out an emergency podcast. We are on an app right now. We hope this works technologically. We think it will, but we are trying to go the extra effort in the same way that our listeners go the extra effort every single day. So,
Field, I'm sure you're on Nantucket or something with Chapin, like at a brewery. I have 20 people over here, including a crying 2-year-old, and one of my 7-year-olds has lost it because we're doing our annual friends and family draft. So I literally have like 20 people at my house, and they're all downstairs and, you know, drinking and listening to music, and I'm up in my bedroom on the phone to you talking Antonio Brown to the Patriots because, yes, it is. Certainly, if ever there was a subject for an emergency podcast, it's this one.
This is certainly it. So let's go through the players that I think are tangentially or directly involved with this Antonio Brown news. And you sort of started to get us down that track there, Matthew. But let's start, obviously, with Antonio Brown himself. Now, most people, like 99.99% of people, have already conducted their drafts. And Antonio Brown, as we said, cannot play in week one. But for the rest of this season, Matthew, starting week two, basically, would you rank Antonio Brown top 5 wide receiver, top 10 wide receiver, top 20? How many wide receivers would you realistically want more than him starting in week two?
Believe it or not, I think I would rank him, as wide receiver 9. So here's who I would for the rest of the season. And I'll give you my analysis here in a second. I would put him in the first tier. So here would be my tier, right? And this is how I have my ranks. But I don't think there's a lot of separation. I have Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, Odell Beckham Jr., Julio Jones, Michael Thomas, Juju Smith-Schuster, Tyreek Hill, Mike Evans, and then Antonio Brown. But honestly, I think that is a tier. Previously, I didn't have Evans or Brown in that tier. But I am more bullish on Evans as we've gotten further through the preseason here, and I'm more bullish on Antonio Brown now, obviously, with this news. So I have him at the end of that tier because number one is he's still going to miss one game. Number two is it's going to take a little while. I mean, remember how excited and Antonio Brown is a different player than Josh Gordon, obviously. But, remember it's going to take a while. The Patriots have a way, obviously. And so in terms of learning the playbook, in terms of getting on the same page with Tom Brady, like it's going to take a little while. So, and there's still risk involved. Look, we've seen this before with the Patriots, right? Whether, you know, Chad Ochocinco, I mean, Eric Decker, and obviously none of them are Antonio Brown and certainly at the prime that Antonio Brown is. But they have taken chances on big name players and then it just hasn't worked out. So you and I both know this field, and you can speak to this better than I can. But, you know, Bill Belichick ain't putting up with anything. Like, if he wore it, he is on the thinnest of ice. Like, Antonio Brown has to be a model citizen here. I don't think New England's going to be like, is going to put up with the stuff that Pittsburgh did and Oakland tried to for a little while.
Yeah, what's interesting is I thought that Antonio Brown, obviously, we knew he'd find work. I thought, though, that maybe something to the effect of, like, I thought it'd be heavily incentivized, right? I thought it'd be a deal that would be worth, like, $10 million, but, like, maybe $2.5 million guaranteed. The Patriots gave him a $9 million signing bonus, Matthew. So the reason why I bring that up, which is pertinent, is that you're right. Bill Belichick is not putting up with anybody's crap. That just ain't happening, right? But
right.
The Patriots are $9 million in on Antonio Brown before he's even landed at Logan Airport in Boston, right? So, like, Antonio Brown better stay on the straight and narrow. At the same time, for the Patriots, like, if they want to cut bait here, Matthew, because they don't like the way things are going, that's a very difficult decision to make. So I think anybody who is believing in Antonio Brown, because I feel the same way you do. Like, I was trying to think about, like, where I would cut things off, and I think that's about fair. Like, I could see him being ahead of guys like Mike Evans, who you mentioned, the end of that tier. Yep. But still, like, I don't have a huge disagreement with that. Again, one of the big factors being that it's 15 games and it's a new offense for Antonio Brown. But
if we sit here, but yeah, at field, if a year from now we're talking about Antonio Brown having one of the best seasons of a wide receiver in fantasy history, or ending the year as the number one wide receiver in fantasy, we're not shocked at all, because he's got the quarterback and an offensive system that could potentially do that. And we know he's got the talent level to do it. I mean, we've seen it, you know, for the last 6 years. So where he's
Matthew,
been a top
this?
Two
his
fantasy
last
wide receiver.
6 years. Right. So remember, we were having this conversation a couple of days ago on the show. He entered week 17 last year before he sat out of that game for the Steelers as the number one wide receiver in fantasy. Here were his, like, the last year they didn't have at least 100 catches. Was 2012. Like, Zeke Elliott was in high school at that point, right? Like, that's, I mean, it's ridiculous.
You and Zeke.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Zeke and I, that's right. Or maybe he was a freshman in college, but still, the point is well taken, right? Like, he has been that guy for a long time. And as crazy as last year was, and I'm not even talking about this offseason, like, as crazy as last year in Pittsburgh was, as difficult as it was seemingly for the Steelers and for Antonio Brown, he had 15 receiving touchdowns and 1,300 receiving yards. He rolls out of bed and gets 1,000 yards per season. So I think the upside, I mean, you know, like last year when Josh Gordon was traded to the Patriots, many of us, you know, including you and I, but many of us in the fantasy community said, like, yeah, there's top 10 upside. Like, but that was sort of, I don't say it was more, it was hopeful, right, Matthew? It was like, hey,
sure.
if everything worked out great. Now for Antonio Brown, like, assuming he stays on the straight and narrow, which is a big assumption, but assuming he plays 15 games, you know, the expectation should be at least a top 10 wide receiver. That should be the expectation.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about Antonio Brown is, so when you say straight and narrow, and I think we all want to know what you mean, but just to be clear, like, so with Josh Gordon, there's a whole host of issues, including substance abuse that he has battled with. And so, you know, there's all issues that have nothing to do with the Patriots in terms of Josh Gordon. With Antonio Brown, yep. It's just, and Daniel, you can bleep this, but whatever. With Antonio Brown, the issue is only he's a pain in the ass. Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's just like, it's just, there's never been any off the field issues beyond the fact that he's just, you know, he's got a reputation of being, you know, a bit of a diva, if you will. And so, and I have to believe that Antonio Brown, look, Antonio Brown's also, like, you know, he's a businessman, right? Business is booming and all that and everything like that. And you never know. Like, I've met Antonio Brown literally three times in my life. That's it, right? And so I can't say I know the man.
That's
well.
Three more than I have. Yeah.
Well, but I've literally only met him three times, and all three times were in public settings where I was interviewing him, or, you know, it was an event or something like that, you know, and I certainly don't have any kind of real connection with him. It was all very superficial and nice to meet you and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so, I have to believe that number one is, like, seeing how it all went down in Oakland, and knowing that, you know, he wore out his welcome in Pittsburgh. Like, you don't sign with the Patriots unless you know what you're, you know what I mean? Like, Drew Rosenhaus, who's his agent, you know, who's as, you know, big an agent as there is in the business. Like, Drew Rosenhaus isn't putting him in New England, and Antonio isn't signing to go there unless he knows, like, look, it's Belichick. It's Brady. Like, it's the Patriot way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just sort of feel like, if ever there was an opportunity or a moment where Antonio Brown says, I got to mind my P's and Q's, it's got to be going to Gillette Stadium and playing with the Patriots.
I completely agree, Matthew. And one thing I will say, by the way, how about Drew Rosenhaus in back-to-back weeks? Two of his most high-profile clients, LeSean McCoy and Antonio Brown, are cut Saturday morning. They have jobs by Saturday night. The guy is an absolute wizard.
With two of the best, with two teams that are likely going to play each other in the AFC Championship game, you know, or certainly the odds-on favorites. I mean, like, he got guys out of Buffalo and Oakland to go to Kansas City and Kansas City and New England. I want Drew Rosenhaus as my agent.
So, hey, I know,
Drew,
me too.
If you're listening.
We'd love to call Drew up and see if he's interested. So let me just so I don't want to say that Antonio Brown has not previously respected coaches, but let me just say this as someone, you know, we've both been around enough players to know that there's not even a mystique about Bill Belichick. Like it's not mystique. It's aura. It's whatever you want to call it. He's the GOAT, right?
Of course.
Don't show up to New England and have to buy into Bill's system. They show up to New England and they say, this guy is the GOAT. So if there is a team, if there is any team that Antonio Brown would be to, you know, and again, maybe you and I are taking the bait here, Matthew, but if there is a team that Antonio Brown is going to be on the straight and narrow for, we both believe that it's the Patriots. We both believe it's for, Bill Belichick playing with Tom Brady, playing with Julian Edelman. Like he's going to have to get, he knows what the deal is, right? Like he knows when he shows up, there is no second chance. And Matthew, how about this? I don't know how much he's thinking about this, but honestly, if it doesn't work with Antonio Brown in New England, I bet part of his mindset is, you know something? If I can't make it work here in New England, can I make it work anywhere? Right? Because if the Patriots can't figure it out, is anybody else going to be like, you know something? Let's take that chance on Antonio Brown. I think if I'm AB, my thought process is I better make this work, right?
Exactly. And by the way, and like, what better way to go out, you know, to play with the, you know, the greatest coach of all time, the greatest quarterback of all time, 1 year deal. And you mentioned it's $9 million signing bonus, but I'm sure there's some incentives in there. There's a decent chance. We've seen it certainly before that he gets to face his old team, the Steelers, in the playoffs. He's not going to be able to do it on Sunday, but, you know, there's lots of motivations for Antonio Brown other than the obvious to just totally ball out, to, nose to the grindstone and completely ball out. Cause I will say this. Talking to other teammates and people that have played with Antonio Brown, no one has ever questioned the man's work ethic. Like they can question sort of some of the antics and the social media and that kind of stuff, but he's a workout beast. When it comes to football, you know, we know the talent, but he's a guy that takes the craft of football very, very seriously. And so I think that part of his personality will work very well in New England. And so, there is some risk there, which is why I put him down at the end of that tier, but there's no question. His range of outcomes is number one wide receiver in football. It is.
Yeah, no question, Matt. I mean, again, and we're not trying to be, it's almost like we're not trying to be disrespectful to, you know, to DeAndre Hopkins or Davante Adams or Julio Jones or Odell Beckham. But still, this guy is next level. He's playing with a quarterback that, you know, is as incredible as Ben Roethlisberger is, likely a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's playing with the best quarterback he has ever played for in his life. So, let's go to the next side of this, which I think is Tom Brady, Matthew, because going into this season, many people, again, us included, drafted Tom Brady, or didn't draft him. But if it did draft him, it was more like, hey, you know, like, let's, like, you know, two quarterback league, we're cool. But otherwise, like, I don't think Tom Brady was started this year. Has 100% changed in the matter of,
completely
5 hours?
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, listen, I'll completely own it here. On my hate list, you know, no Gronk. No real weapons besides Edelman, doesn't run the ball. You know, he doesn't add you anything with his legs the way a lot of top fantasy quarterbacks do. It's a run heavy offense. And listen, he's the GOAT. He should be not only a first ballot Hall of Famer, but a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. I can't imagine voting against Tom. But as fantasy goes, like, yes, I mean, I had him, you know, way down there. I think initially, when August started, I think he was outside my top 20, but now, you know, like, I'm walking that back. Like, Daniel, throw, can you, if you, when you, cause you and I are just recording this, Daniel, throw in a beep, beep, beep backup sound effect. You know, I am walking that back in a big way because.
Yeah. Again, I mean, but no. Yeah. I mean, you are because they now have Antonio Brown,
and Josh Gordon.
Sure. But things have changed.
Once Josh Gordon got reinstated, when Josh Gordon reinstated, I moved Brady up into like the, you know, like 15, 16 range, mid-tier QB2. And now I think Brady's probably, look, I still have concerns about the run-first nature of the offense, but I think Brady's now a viable, I think he's a viable starter in a 12-team league.
I got to tell you though, Matthew, I think it pivots the other way. Like, I'm not so concerned of the run-first offense, right? Like, and here's the reason why, is that, I don't know, man, like, you've got all these weapons now. Like, why bother running it, right? Like, and we still like Sonny Michel, but why bother running it so much?
Exactly.
I just think that, like, they are going to be absolutely lethal offensively.
Correct.
I just think that, you know.
I mean, just think about this. You're a defensive field. Think about this. You're a defensive coordinator, and you're just, okay, you've got Edelman in the slot. You potentially have Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon on the outside. Maybe you've got James White or Sonny Michel. I mean, like, or even both guys. I mean, like, the permutations are endless. Man, I'm glad I'm not a defensive coordinator playing the Patriots this year. I'll just say that.
Right. Right. No question about it. And that begins, obviously, in week 2, because he cannot play in week 1 against the Steelers.
Correct.
Against the Miami Dolphins, who get to host. How about that? Your Miami Dolphins get to, yeah. That being said, Miami, I will say this. They're not going to do much well this year. They're going to actually be pretty good against the pass this season. You know, there's such an irony, by the way, Matthew, is that the last two games that have involved the Steelers, in which Antonio Brown's been a part of, he hasn't actually played in them, right? So obviously last year as a Steeler in week 17, he doesn't play. This year with the Patriots, also does not play against the Steelers.
Where would you rank? If somebody was doing a draft, where would you rank Brady?
Yeah, so I'm going to go back to the quarterback rankings right now, but like my instinct is inside the top 10. Here's the issue is I don't want to say that the game has changed, Matthew, entirely, because I mean, I don't want to make such a sweeping generalization. But don't you think since the apex of Tom Brady, which obviously was in 2007, and even more recently since then, it's clear, like, there are so many more adept running quarterbacks, right? Like, that's just a fact. Like Tom Brady, like just, I know this sounds ridiculous, but, someone tweeted this and they did so wisely. Like when Lamar Jackson had that crazy run during preseason that was called back, yep. It was a 19-yard touchdown rush that was called back. Someone was like, yeah, if that was a rushing touchdown, it was 7.9 points, right? If it was a fantasy football game that mattered and that the touchdown scored. If he threw that pass, it would be worth 8 points, right? So just like the amount of rushing quarterbacks has risen over the past few years. But I think he would be a top 10 quarterback for me. I'm having a hard time finding all of our rankings as I'm sort of scrolling through the computer, only because we're on to week 1 in most ways. But I've got him here. So I've got my rankings pulled up right now for quarterbacks. If I had to go to quarterbacks right now that I would prefer over Tom Brady, I think I would draw the line at Kyler Murray at 8. So Tom Brady would be back at 9 for me, just ahead of Russell Wilson.
I think that's fair.
So behind the obvious candidates, the Mahomes, the Watsons, the Rodgers, Newton, Matt Ryan, Baker, Carson Wentz, yeah. Kyler Murray, then it'd be Tom Brady.
Yeah, right. And I agree. Like I prefer Brady to Drew Brees rest of the season. I prefer him to Russell Wilson rest of the season. Like he's all right there. So again, you and I have around the same place. I say top 12, and obviously, you know, he'll be a very high quarterback against Miami in week 2. So we'll talk about that. Let's now go into the pass catchers here. And we've already talked about Antonio Brown and Tom Brady. What does this do to Josh Gordon? Because I heard from a bunch of people that have Josh Gordon on the rosters and, they were cursing they're not happy. The people that have Josh Gordon on their teams that felt like they got a bit of a steal this year. Now they're not happy.
Yeah. So by the way, I don't want to ignore Julian Edelman, but I think both of us feel pretty confident that he's kind of locked into where he was, right? Like,
yes.
He is a sliding scale wide receiver too, right? Like at best, a high end wide receiver too, at worst, a low end wide receiver too. You agree on that?
Yeah. He's always going to play the slot. He's always going to be Brady's first look when he's in trouble. Like,
yep.
You get Antonio Brown. That's awesome. But, you know, Edelman's in the circle of trust. He's in the triangle of trust. Edelman's not going anywhere. I think he's, you know, the Antonio Brown signing may have capped his ceiling, but certainly doesn't destroy his floor. I mean, that was the thing with Edelman. Edelman's just such a high floor player.
Sure. So let's move along. You're smart. I agree on the focus is now Josh Gordon. It hurts, Matthew. It hurts his value. I have Josh Gordon as starting wide receiver in the War Room League. And yeah, this changes the outcome here. You know, I think at the end of the day, the Patriots are going to have to make a roster move, by the way, on Monday, which could be a wide receiver. We don't know for sure whether that is the case or not, but it's possible someone's released. We'll get to who I think it is at least possible could be later. But yeah, so with Josh Gordon, Matthew, like he is what, at best a third wide receiver now.
Yep.
With Brady, I'm sorry, with Edelman and also Josh Gordon, right?
With Antonio Brown.
We're talking
with Edelman and Antonio Brown.
Excuse me.
At best, he's
Edelman
the third.
Edelman and Antonio Brown. Yes.
See, and I would argue, Field, I would argue that at best he's the third pass catching option. I'm sorry. At best, he's the third wide receiver. But I think you could make a strong argument that at best he's the fourth pass catching option, because I think James White ends the year with more receptions than Josh Gordon.
That's possible, in terms of
passing down. And in terms of fantasy points, I mean, again, like we both like Sony Michel this year. Like they're not going to go away from the run. And so, you know, you establish the run, you set up play action, and Sony Michel, who's looked so good in preseason and it was so crucial to their Super Bowl run last year. I think you could make an argument that Josh Gordon somehow becomes the fifth offensive option, or, you know, or maybe the fourth, right? I think
has Josh Gordon as his fourth option or fifth option, right?
Right. But if you count New England running back as just whoever's in the backfield with Tom Brady is, if that you count that as an option, right? Whether it's Michelle or James White, and we'll talk about the rankings and all that. But like, I would argue that he is at best the fourth option behind whoever the New England running back is, Antonio Brown and Edelman.
As we are currently going through this, I'm pulling up Dante Stallworth's stats. So because the Patriots in 2007 had, you know, obviously gargantuan production in the passing game. In 2007, when Dante Stallworth was the third wide receiver for the Patriots, obviously it was Moss, it was Edelman, and then Dante Stallworth. He had 46 catches for 700 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Right.
You know, I don't want to make any apples to apples comparisons, but I'm just sort of finding historical reference of when the Patriots have had two gargantuan pass catchers, you know, and whatever the third person looked like. We could probably find some examples and like probably 2012, 2013 when Gronk was at his peak along with guys like Wes Welker. So I'm going to, this is what happens when you do a podcast on the fly. In 2013, I guess that was a down year for Gronk. Let's go back to 2012. When I think 2012 was Gronk's best season ever, when he had a couple years off. Anyways, we have seen years, Matthew, where the Patriots have sustained three pass catchers. That being said, like there's a clear ceiling right now on Josh Gordon. Presuming, again, all this sort of hinges on the idea that Antonio Brown, when he shows up, A, shows up and stays on the straight and narrow, and B, shows up and is integrated like you'd expect a team who gives $15 million to a player to be integrated. Fair?
100% fair. And look, Josh McDaniels is a very creative play caller, and the Patriots have always been a team that like, okay, what do we have to work with? And they mold their team not only to who their opponent is, but who their personnel is. And so you get Antonio Brown, you get a toy like Antonio Brown, you're going to use him, and you're going to figure out ways to, you know, imagine trip sets, you know, like on the side with Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon. I mean, like it's unbelievable. And whether it's Edelman or another, you know, Philip Dorsett or something like it. Anyway, like it's going to be fun as hell to watch. Unless you're one of the defensive coordinators playing against the Patriots. I think you have to lower the expectations of Sony Michel a little bit here. I think James White is what he is, but my take just generally is I think they run a little bit less, and I think they score. I think Sony Michel scores a few less touchdowns. I'm sure Mike Clay's updating his projections right now, but I just feel like, you tell me if you're wrong. Like you used to cover the Patriots for ESPN Boston before you came to ESPN proper, Field. So this is a team you grew up in Boston, obviously. This is a team you know very well. But for me, I just feel like Brady, again, wanted to make this work, obviously. Brady, you know, hoping for a repeat, you know, towards the end of his career. I could see a bunch of cheapo touchdowns to Antonio Brown. Like they're on the 3-yard line, and usually it would be a handoff to Sony Michel. But there, when you think about like who's better at like sort of like getting that quick separation, that quick little slant in, you know, from 3 yards out than Antonio Brown, right? I mean, so
yeah, probably nobody. Yeah.
So I mean, I just feel like you could see some of those touchdowns that would have gone to Sony Michel, those in close touchdowns. I bet you some of them go to Antonio Brown this year, A, because he's a weapon, and also just because Tom wanting to, you know, feed the guy, make him happy, make him feel welcome, that sort of thing, you know, and,
yeah. It's hard because, you know, it's like, well, on the one hand, it's, you know, Sony Michel could benefit because they're going to be moving the football so, you would think, seamlessly, yeah. Right? Like, effectively. It's going to be easy. That he might get, you know, five more easy touchdowns. At the same right. time, you're right. Let's say that he has five more opportunities. It could be that, you know, three of them go to Antonio Brown or something to that effect. So it's fair. Still have him locked in as a running back two for me. And
I agree with that.
Basically everybody's got the upside, right? Every single player in this Patriots offense, right?
Yeah, I think I was very high on Sony Michel, so I have him significantly higher on the season long ranks than his ADP. So I would lower him a little bit, but I would still have him, I think, higher than the ADP. And I agree with you. He certainly, even in PPR, even without the pass catching, I think you'd be completely fine with him as your number two running back.
Yeah, it's fair enough on that. So anybody else I think that's it. Well, here's what I'm adding. I don't want to I left this as sort of a cliffhanger earlier, but
sure.
Do you think, I wonder what happens to Demaryius Thomas. Because he's on the roster today, if the Patriots cut him, he can claim what's called termination pay, which is for veterans who have been in the league for at least four seasons. Their contract is guaranteed, if they're on the week one roster. But can you afford to roster him as a fourth wide receiver? Probably the question mark. We'll keep an eye on that.
For whatever it is worth. So you and I are in the War Room League, 16 teams, and my very last pick. In the 16 team was Demaryius Thomas. Like, hey, had a good preseason, yep. You know, had that last game in the preseason. Why not? You never know. Josh Gordon, you know, hey, they need a big body, right? No Gronk, blah, blah, kill Harry out for a while. I just dropped him. Like in our 16 team league, I just dropped Demaryius Thomas right. after I saw the Antonio Brown news. Cause I agree with you. I think whether he's on the Patriots or not, I think his fantasy value is, you know, next to nothing. And so, you know, dropped him and picked up Ty Johnson, the running back in Detroit, who I know they like a sure. lot there. Sure. So, but yeah, so anyway, you and I agree, whether the Patriots drop him or not, we both agree that in redraft leagues, Demaryius Thomas probably likely should be dropped from your fantasy team in the light of this news.
One last thing here, Matthew, is yes, I know sir. It probably sounds ridiculous to ask this because we stated what we think the upside is for Antonio Brown, but do you think there's, what would you say the fail chances are here? Because that's been, it's funny how, this, it's just probably just Twitter in a nutshell, is that, you know, something happens and a bunch of people have one opinion and then a bunch of other people reject that opinion and go the opposite side of it. You know what I mean? And one of the narratives that's developed is that, oh, yeah, you know, it seems so perfect on the surface. But watch this not work out at all. Am I crazy for thinking that, the fail chances, if Antonio Brown, the fail chances to me are simply rooted in this. If Antonio Brown just continues to act like an absolute moron, but if he stays on the on the straight and narrow, I think the fail chances are ridiculously high, don't you? I mean, I'm ridiculously.
I would agree with that. Listen, I mean, he has to know, you're not recording Belichick and making a YouTube video of that. You know what I mean? You're just not doing that. So I mean, as long as he's not Facebook living. You know, or Instagram videoing a Patriots team meeting like he once famously did with the Steelers where he put a Steelers team meeting on Facebook Live. As long as he's not doing stuff like that. Yeah. No, listen, based on what we know of Antonio Brown's personality, what we've seen and you know, in blips in Pittsburgh and certainly, you know, in the last month and a half here in Oakland, there's a chance of that. But I would say it's 80-20 again, I think because of. He realizes what an opportunity he has here. He realizes the thin ice that he's on here. And I think, you know, I'm sure he thinks this, or if he hasn't think this, I'm sure Drew Rosenhaus and the other people around him have told him this, listen, you're super talented, but if you can't make it work in New England, you know what I mean? If you can't make it work in Oakland for $30 million guaranteed, and then you can't make it work in New England with the greatest coach and quarterback of all time, I don't know what to tell you. You know what I mean? And so. You're looking at on a very incentive laden deal and, you know, probably a team you don't want to go to. And so, you know, yeah, I agree with you. I think he has to realize this is sort of a last chance, you know, by the way,
yeah,
we also forgot the day he spent in Buffalo.
Right. So he's been on four teams this offseason, Matthew. That's pretty incredible, right?
Yeah, it really is. He's like a young Carlos Hyde.
That's right. I was going to say, he's only one less than Carlos Hyde. In fairness, he never dropped a pass with the Bills or the Raiders. Like, that's fair. Incredible consistency. So we know that much. He's going to be reliable on the field. What a day it was, Matthew. Like, what a day it really was. Like, the NFL season has not yet, well, I guess it's begun, but has not really fully begun. And we've already had the wildest Saturday I could have imagined.
I mean, just think about this offseason field, this offseason, right? I mean, like, Andrew Luck retiring. You know, this whole Antonio Brown saga. I mean, like, there have been more crazy storylines in this offseason than I can even imagine. Like, this season's going to be awesome. Can't wait for the season. I have 20 people waiting for me to do a draft. I know you have people waiting for you as well. I will see you tomorrow morning for the season debut of Fantasy Football Now, my friend.
10 a.m. Eastern time. We begin on ESPN News and move over to ESPN2 at 11 a.m. We cannot wait. Thanks for making time for us, everybody. And if you have Antonio Brown, you're smiling wide right now. We'll talk to you guys on Monday.
Peace out.